Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Taylor, and you have stumbled upon a team of voices and our show on Blog Talk Radio. And this is an open poetry show. So that means that we don't have a topic this week. We just go and wander through all of the good people, and there are many who have gone and shared with us the poets, poems, and we've got like a full board. And with me to go through all of those poems, Jay Haddock. Hi, Haddock. How are you?
I'm okay, AP. Made it.
Yeah, good.
Cold.
Wonderful Deborah Lee. Wonderful Deborah Lee, who looks after a team of voices for us all. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. And we have on the line Mr. David Prophet. How are you going, Dave? Hello, Dave? Hello, Dave. Okay, we'll get him in two ticks. And Mr. Wayne Jen. How are you going, Wayne?
Yes, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm very, very well. How are you?
Been watching football games today. You've been watching a good football game today. Take it easy. Had a good time.
Well, it's a good thing. I haven't gone and had a look myself. I've been busy sorting a few things and pieces out. Now, David, are you there now? Mr. Prophet? No, I've got him, but I can't hear him. So, Dave, if you can hear me. Yep, Deb's gone to try and find him, so that's good. Anyways, we have an open poetry show today, and Hatter, I know that you're not feeling yourself. Did you want to put your poem on the board to kick us off?
Sure, I could do that.
And are you happy to read it, or did you want me to read it for you?
No, I think I can read it. It's not very long.
Okay. Righto. Cool. Well, as soon as we see it up on the board, I'll get you to kick off and get into it, and we can go from there.
All right.
I think I see it. Yeah, I think I see it, Adam. So we are up and running, and to kick off with, it's your poem, Tell Me If I Fail to See. We're in your hands.
Yeah. And it, you know what? Go ahead and read it, AP.
Well, I'm happy to read it. Great little illustration, too. Tell Me If I Fail to See, with the Hatter illustration in the eyes, which is lovely. In search of something to reset, a switch to take me back in time, they say a coupon is a 2-for-1, because that's what it says on mine. Can I choose the place I land and where we were back then? Will I have a key to use, or will they let me in? Can I be just 1 year older and maybe be taller too? Will you know my name before, and will I be missing you? Will the rain come falling like all the days before, or will you try to understand before you I was poor? Flashing to the neon lights, I watched it all come true. Tell me if I fail to see the bad in loving you. Simple things turn passion pink, and worry turns them blue. I wait here with the broken hearted, praying it's not true. End poem.
Thank you, AP.
Like that. Pleasure. Like that. That's how we go about reading it. Very nice, Anna. Love the couplets, and very Hatter-esque, I have to say. Can I be just 1 year older and maybe taller too? Sort of feels like something you would say all over. And will you know my name before, and will I be missing you? And I sort of think about that couplet, and I think to myself, if there was a couplet that I'd choose to remind me of Hatter's writing, it would be that couplet right there. So it says everything about J. Hatter's writing that you need to know and a little bit more. Deb, can you say a few words about Hatter's poem?
Okay. Oh, I liked it a lot. Of course, I always like most of what Hatter writes. I thought it was real interesting.
Yes.
Really well said, you know. I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it because I was trying to get my phone squared away again and dial and get back on.
Oh,
so,
I was gonna say, you were having some trouble. Still good.
Yeah.
No, well done.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good to be talking to you. So now, Deb. Deb, you helped sort Mr. Prophet out. What did you think of Hatter's poem?
You know, I think that this was one of those, wow, what a way to start the show with a punch of him. And I think that, I had one that they say the coupon is a 2-for-1 because that's what it says on mine. Can I choose the place I land and where we were back then? Will I have a key to use, or will they let me in? Each couplet took you further into the emotion, and Hatter, I can tell it's that time of year. Great brevity.
Yep. Yep. Great.
Thank you, Deborah.
Mr. Wayne, Wayne, what did you think?
Yes. Yeah, I said this is a great poem. Lots of questions running across the mind when one is heartbroken. They just want to get away and change everything. I love these couplets and the storyline. It's a wonderful form of anguish, and it has a lot of deep thought in it. A great job, Hatter. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Very, very good. Thank you, Wayne. Great comment. What I was going to do next. Now, have you got a few minutes, Dave, or do you need to read and run?
No, I can hang out.
Okay, very, very good. And I'm going to put your poem on the board now, Wayne. And we do have a SoundCloud from you. So bear with me while I put that up on the board. Yeah.
It's a little dark. A little bit of dark, Sab, but anyway.
Yeah, it's all good. It is dark. Evil lies within. And I'm going to play the SoundCloud now.
This is called Evil Lies Within. It's your beauty you command to feel. Demon inside keeps trying to conceal. Release the monster you have inside. Your evil is not something to hide. Watch you as you shred your prey, then laugh at the moon as you walk away. Act shocked when heard about next day, all the time looking for next to play. Flaunt your looks every chance you can, play upon the weakness of the helpless man. Innocent abounds while setting scene, dread the laughs of the murdering fiend. Suffering intense as you dismember, mourning blood, try not to remember. What you leave makes werewolf cringe, monster look away and quietly grins. Eight hand that held the final pleading grip, left trace of blood at a fingertip, dripping slowly down from lower lip, before it disappears with a vulgar sip. Let out demon, not to hide anymore, down on victim's blood, guts and gore. In darkness, hear your evil growl, lurk in shadows, eating domestic fowl. There is no beauty in what's possessed. Don't hide your evil amongst guests. Enjoy the ones you systematically digest. Release your souls to a peaceful rest. And?
Well, Juan, there's some ripper rhymes there. I don't remember a poem that I've read that has dismember rhymes with remember, and any more with gore, and digest, systematically digest, with peacefully rest. I mean, there's a combination, you know? So it gives me indigestion, sort of dark, you know? I think I need some, you know, stuff to help me get that through the system. Anyway, most impressively dark. Dave, did you want to say a few words about the indigestion poem of one?
I like this a lot. I've known some women just like this. It's pretty dark, you know, but it's cool the way Wayne worded it. And the storyline, way he weaves the metaphors and the adjectives and stuff in and out of the storyline and the way he tells it and reads it is really, really good. And I like this one a lot. This is one of your best dark ones, I think, Wayne. So I'll have to tell you, well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah,
you're
welcome.
And Hannah, did you want to say a few words about Wayne's piece?
Yeah, making the werewolf cringe and monster look away. That was a good touch.
Yeah. Oh,
loving the
look.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Yeah. Dragged you down in the... Nice job, Wayne.
Yeah. Agree with you. And Deb, did you want to say a few words about Wayne's piece?
Yeah. For one thing, you touched on the dismember. I agree. I don't think I've ever had dismember rhymed with anything. Wayne, I thought the details here were really cool. And then you go into the next stanza, ate a hand that held the final pleading grip, left a trace of blood in the fingertip, all casual. I think this is deep and dark and cool. And since we call her the Queen of Darkness, I bet Sweet would be really proud of this one. Awesome one. Awesome.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
No, well done, Wayne. And since it's early on in the show and I'm still halfway awake, I have been set a challenge here by Francisco Del Mar. He has given us a Scottish ode. And by God, there's like 100 Scottish words in it, so I'm going to mispronounce some of them. But it is Gowans by a Brash Cheel. It goes, God help me, a little bit like this. The Lown moors bustle with a gale, but the croft there in a bonny dale, red-winged blackbirds feign and hail, but in the peat bog and the swale, the old canty field once too fallow, a bread by the clackens that wallow, neath the sky glittering the window, afar the smolt glint of a rainbow. Chew, chew again the sweat wort, till the entire vein sort with the lonesome thistles brought in the dunnest days of the drought. With a strive billies yold and clear, tilling the sea to the morrow air, where clouds straggle and not there, as the smirg of your dwinnest near. South and leads to the dinkin climmer, where the lures that stiffly glimmer, that gareth them greet in a shimmer, and the woosters high when dimmer. Roostlin' within a one-hope dray, as fairy dark as Eden and Skay, weaned their lang a grushy sow, amidst the keekin and sticker how. Sprack deep to that yonder field, o'er the glen went gleet the beeld, with the eyes of reapers that wield, jiggered till the night fells that yield. Drudgery sprint, a ouncey cheel, lang the gowans by a brash cheel, seen and weem and in rough wheel with the coming of drows that heal. End poem.
Wow.
Somebody else want to have a go at that? Goodness me.
Was it just me, everybody, or did AP's voice take on a different tone there when he was reading for Frank?
Yeah, I think so.
I was like, I had to do a double take when I started listening. Where did that come from? But wow, what a job it must have been to construct that poem. I think that between the mono rhyme per stanza and the enormous list of words that he used, so much so that look at the glossary down in the author's notes. You have to go back and find some of them to be sure. But man, oh man, between, like I said, the quality of all these words in here and that read, AP, that was a treat.
You know, it was something, Dave, I'll tell you. Wayne, what did you think of the Scottish review?
Well, the first thing I say is you did a good job reading it. And second, I love the rhyme in it. I love the rhyme in the vocabulary in this. It's pretty amazing. I believe this poem is about planting crops and taking time working against the drought and all the bad things that come out when you have crops, I believe, and you're trying to get a good yield. And it's, I could be wrong, but that's what I think it's about. And it's a very good poem, and I enjoyed the read and enjoyed the poem all the way through. I love the rhyme he did in this. You know, very rhyme like every offer he has, the rhyme, like four lines in a row and stuff. But he did a good job with this, and sounds good, really good. Good job.
Yeah, no, fine. Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to plug those words into the what a the explanation of what words to read it.
Yeah. You almost need to read the explanations before, don't you? Yeah.
So. Very good. Anyway. Yeah, a long time to do that. I took a long time.
It was interesting. Anyway, Dave, I've put your palm up on the board. So, did you want to have a chat, or did you want to say a few words about the Francisco de Mar, and then read the poem? Hello, Dave. We've had a few problems with your line. Dave, can you hear me?
Dave, are you muted?
No, I was talking to my mute button. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
No, the poem was amazing. I have to admit to not knowing 75 to 80% of the words. Irish is kind of like that too, you know. I mean, I had an Irish lady friend, and you know, she was always throwing these words at me, and I had to stop her and back her up and ask her what it meant. But I love that kind of stuff, though. I love that non-American vernacular, you know.
Yeah, you learn stuff from it, and that's the most important thing. So,
so what's your poem. Okay.
Sorry, what was that?
Well, I picked this one because I used to work on a minigun. Actually, it was not really a minigun. It was a cannon, a 20-millimeter cannon. And this one's called Vulcan's Christmas. Reindeer XM-61 shooter fires chrome bullets with emerald tracers in a high rate of fire. God of fire, his handmade halo screwed to the back of his head, whispers lies to drunken reindeer, drank whiskey from saxophones. Psychedelic elves hanging plastic stockings, one stuffed with an electric machete, the rest with mirrors of infinity. Reindeer is still shooting. Holes in the night sky, belt-fed mayhem spits out aluminum casings with spent pumpernickel primers. The dark mother's really pissed. Gunpowder and cotton candy balsam wafts around a dangerous deer, appearing in a column of purple smoke, sticks her dark energy finger down the barrel next to fire. 'Tis not the Christmas spirit, you reckless deer, her words shaking the very air, and long-wave RF, her dark energy shaking the minigun apart. Elf so afraid he wet his pants with saxophone whiskey he was forced to drink at Mr. Vulcan's Christmas party. The dark mother will have no one shooting up her universe. She has her own shooting gallery. Hers a more elegant stage, no chrome bullets with emerald tracers, crisscrossing the night sky, only to be eaten by Cygnus X1 and the Swan. Dark mother's voracious pet, full auto XM-61 20-millimeter Vulcan toy, on loan to reckless reindeer who have drank too much whiskey fermented in saxophones, of Lawrence Welk's dead band, a one and a two and a buckle my shoe, a minigun for you. Hit it, Myron. Myron Florence amplified accordion mic to 200-watt Marshall stacks at Vulcan's Christmas party. Myron's cat diesel baseball hat on backwards, rainbow glasses, the elves are screaming, tears down their silly faces, amplifier is spitting out blotter tabs of purple Osley as fast as the reindeer and the elves can eat it, far out, and boom.
Yeah, you went to town on that one. I remember that one, Dave, because I remember getting that picture. We actually wrote to the same prompt that week with that amazing picture of that reindeer shooting stuff up with that bloody cannon. Quite remarkable. Wayne, what did you think of the Vulcan's Christmas?
Well, I was kind of taken aback when I first started hearing it. It was so good I didn't write much of a comment while I was listening to it. But the poem put together well, and the metaphors are great. And I think it's a protest of war and the damage it does to the environment. And I'm glad that Mother stopped in and did something about it. And I think it's a good poem you did there, Dave. I thought one was that. I like it.
Thank you, Wayne.
And, Deb, what did you think? I think it was written for one of your shows, this poem.
Yeah, I remember it too. Yeah, I think that a lot of it blew me away, but right now I'm taken by the fact that it says the dark mother is really pissed and gunpowder and cotton candy balsam wafts around the dangerous deer. Seems like the dark mother is getting her own line of beauty products because, like, it's usually gunpowder cologne. Now we have balsam too. Just that part made me giggle. And, like, Dave, this is one of those ones that got us all calling you the storytelling poet. And I see that it's from, well, obviously it's from my picture prompt, but it was on a list of 10s. So, like, way cool. It was fun to hear it again.
Thank you.
And And Hatter, what did you think of when the gun?
I got
this. The reindeer.
The vision that you went deer hunting in the constellations, you know, with a with a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, that would piss the Dark Mother off.
Yeah, holes in the night sky.
Yeah.
Felt fed.
No, very nice. All holes in the night sky, too, Adam. Okie dokie. We're moving right along to the next poem, and that is a poem that I've put up on the board by my good friend in South Australia, poet of Cabra, called Blowing Your Kisses, and it goes a little bit like this. Darling, I love you more than spoken words can say. There's an ache in my heart every time I have to go away. When my work requires me to go on extra long trips, I blow kisses in the wind in hopes they make it to your lips. Hold your photograph each night. Look at the sweet girl I am missing. Strawberry blonde hair, green eyes, and the luscious lips I long to be kissing. Alone at night, hugging my pillow, pretending, darling, that it is you. Blow another kiss out an open window, imagining that you, returning one too. If you feel something brush your lips as you sleep, please don't get a fright. It will be just a few of my many kisses, darling, that I'll be blowing to you through the night. When away from you, my sweetheart, I find it hard to even think rationally. Can only dream of your electric eyes, ruby red lips, and kissing you passionately. Couldn't help falling in love with each other. Seems like destiny, a real perfect match. Should be counting sheep trying to sleep, but I'm counting kisses. I want you to catch. Can't wait to get home again, darling. Long to hug you and kiss you passionately. Then I'll take your hand, go down on one knee. Ask the question, darling. Would you marry me? End poem. There you go. A proposal in one poem. Deb, what did you think of that one by Poeta?
Yeah, you know, like love and tenderness and romance and rhyme and it's like oozing off the page here, all to build up to that question, will you marry me? How sweet. I was getting a little bit worried as to where it might be head at one point.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, no, just tease.
Uh-oh.
Really, really.
Uh-oh.
Great read.
You reined it in. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks, Deb. Hatter, what did you think of Poeta's piece? Oh, I think Adam might have dropped, so I'm going to have to go to David. Dave, what did you think of that one?
Oh, I thought this was beautiful. It really is. I've heard a lot of his poetry before, and I liked it all. He's another one of my favorite poets, and the rhyme and meter in this poem is just, and it has such a nice storyline to it. It's one of these make-you-feel-good poems with a nice, happy ending. So
agreed. And Wayne, what did you think of Poeta and his piece?
I think it's a wonderful poem about love. It's love separated by distance and time. The love showiness is wonderful, and the ending was perfect. All I hear now is yes, and I do. And so I love this poem, and the romantic odes. Great job and good emotion.
Yeah, agreed. Well done. Very well done, Poeta. Lovely to have you back on the board. And we now have Phil the Poet on the board, so I'm going to play his SoundCloud that he sent to us.
It's a poem by Phil the Poet called Poetry Has a Meaning. Poetry has a meaning that few find hard to understand. Writing is the formula of what the imagination has planned. Projecting emotions on a snow-white landscape while the words begin to form and take shape. Ideas begin to flow to form a poetic masterpiece on a clean sheet of paper without a single crease. Writing a confession of love or just a line of encouragement, adding a few words here and there to settle the arrangement. Pouring out the emotions on a waterproof pad, smudging the ink to erase the reason for being sad, turning dark words into inspiration of heavenly light. For poetry gives the poet a mystical second sight. Once the words are written down, the poet is set free until inspiration strikes like a monster pedigree, picking up the pen with artistic flair and beginning to write. The poetic bug has decided to take another bite. Poetry has a meaning to poets for different reasons, creating pieces of majestic art for different seasons. May the poet rejoice in the words that he creates, reciting poetry to the angels at the pearly gates. End poem.
Wow. That's really
Thank you
cool.
very much. Well done, Phil. Love the poem. Now, Dave, you liked it too. What did you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. You know, oftentimes I'll be listening to something that somebody's saying on the TV, or I'll read something, and because I'm a poet, I thought, you guys sure could have worded that a lot better, you know. when you write poetry as much as we do, you really get into how the words should be placed and where they should be placed, you know, and this poem's
yep.
really outlines that whole process really well. And I agree. I think poets have a deeper understanding of the written word, I guess, than most folks do. I think most folks just kind of glaze over something that's written, and they don't really dig into it that much. But I really like this poem. Phil's a great poet, and he expressed himself really well, and he did exactly that in this poem.
Wayne, what did you think of Phil the Poet's poem?
Well, I said poems are wonderful. As long as we put words in there, I did a great job with the meaning of poetry. I did a good job with the details of the wonder of poetry. The last thing that says it all,
yep.
when he said poetry is a meaning to put the poets for different reasons. All the reasons are good. As long as we keep putting words on the page, poetry will live on forever.
Yep.
Great job, Phil.
Thanks, Wayne. And Deb, what did you think of Phil's piece?
I like how he relayed it through the thought of poetry and the meaning behind it, and then pulled us into different emotions. And I thought the one part there, pouring out the emotions on a waterproof pad, I thought that was a clever metaphor there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a really great job with it.
No, agreed. I think wonderful poem and brilliantly read too, Phil. So, thank you for contributing to the show. And with the SoundCloud. We are now up to another piece that's been sent in. This is The Nomad by Lockdown Lux, which I'm going to read. It goes a bit like this. So here I am on my own, longing for what I once had. The only love I have ever known was before I became the nomad, grown. Oh, how I have grown. I had it all and left it behind, looking for that greener grass. How could I know there was nothing to find, that I already had a full glass? Kind. Yes, you are one of a kind. So I'm going back to our place, hoping that you will be there. My heart now full of your grace. A nomad wanting to stay somewhere. Solace. I must seek for solace. I wonder, do you still think of me and that wonder of our place? If we met again, would you still see the magic of our time and space? Destiny. Yes. You are my destiny. The future is soon enough past, learning to love, learning to share. Dreams can't see that time is so fast and that love can be found anywhere. Last, you were a love to last. So I'm going back to our place, hoping that you will be there. All my heart can see is your face, a nomad wanting to stay somewhere. Embrace. Will you be there to embrace? End poem. Is very neat. I love the repetition. I love the rhyme scheme. Beautiful to read. Deb, what was your take out of The Nomad?
Yeah, I think that there's an unspoken sort of theme. We either have a bit of darkness or we have some romance happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I like
mm-hmm.
the part specifically. I wonder, do you think of me? and the wonder of our place. If we met again, would you still see the magic of our time and space? Destiny. Yes, you were my destiny. But I love the thought of, you know, in that place, would you pick up on the nostalgia and would it make any difference?
Yeah,
emotional
piece. Wayne, what did you think of this one? Did this get you?
Yeah, the journey of having lost love takes us on a pretty good journey. We learn a lot, we grow a lot after we have to lose our love. This poem here is great, has great metaphors in it, and the girl they had before is strong, and he did a good job writing about this. It's got a lot of emotion in it and good metaphors and perfect little poem. I love it.
Thanks, Wayne. I agree. And what about you, Jeff? That?
Did you
are
say
you
me? Okay.
Oh, I did.
I like this a lot. I don't think there's any of us that haven't wished they'd done something different in their life. I mean, that's kind of what I took from this. I know there's been maybe just a handful of women that I wished I'd taken more seriously. I probably wouldn't be single today if I hadn't done that. But that's kind of the way I got. There's a lot of longing in this poem that I'm picking up, and wishfulness, you know. So, it was a beautiful poem. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Welcome back, Hatter. How are you?
Okay. I'm all right. Sorry about that.
Excellent. Good to see you. Now, Deb. Deb, I've got you up on the board for the next poem with your brevity.
Okie dokie. Mine's just a little brevity. Going back to the, probably should have maybe read after Wayne or something, but anyway. If you die in a nightmare, out from the gray mist the shadows rise. Shouts and moans mix with the cracking of sticks as footsteps trail me and the moonlight dies. Pulse speeds from the snaps and clicks, then the wind whistles with dark lullabies, and the breezes blow out the lantern wicks. Now, without the glow from the lantern light, an oak tree clobbers me like a big red brick, knocking me out. But then, I never rise again. End poem.
Mm-hmm. That's very dark, yeah. Very dark. I like it, though. It's very dark. Hatta, what did you think?
Sounds like a widowmaker.
Yeah.
Widowmaker to me.
Yeah. One way to look at that list.
Was. Yeah, it was. So.
Very
no,
very
impressive. Impressive. Wayne, what did you think of that brevity?
Well, I'm just now writing down the comment, but it's a nice dark poem. I just stared into it. I thought it was excellent. I thought about the same thing when everybody talked about the oak tree. I think about there was, and they had a bit of widowmaker there. So, but I haven't finished writing my comment out, but I'll finish it now.
All good. And Dave, what did you think of Deb's brevity?
Well, I loved it. I love just about everything Deb writes. To me, she's one of these people that can't do anything wrong. If you die in a nightmare, the buzzards circle. You know, I remember one time my mom was, we were sitting in the living room, and my mom just come out of nowhere with this thing. She says, I want to tell you kids something. My sister was with me. And she says, you know, if you die in a nightmare, you really do die. And I went to bed. I took her word on it, and I went to bed, and I never slept the whole night.
Oh, wow.
And so then I asked my dad the next day, I said, Dad, is that really true what Mom said? And he goes, of course not. You know, my dad was always the soothsayer in the family, you know. And you know, if Mom said something that I didn't buy, then I'd go ask him, and he would either say yay or nay on it. It's a great poem, Deb. Really liked it.
Was good.
Thank you, David.
Great. Little brevity. I'm talking about brevities by Heavenly Angel. This is continuation It goes a little bit like this. All is still. A hushed quiet falls on Samaron Lake as evening begins. The sun, glowing in rich tangerine hues, lowering to its bed for the night, casting lemon-lime glow on wisps of clouds. A fine grey mist lingers in silhouettes of trees. He and I sit at water's edge, basking in the beauty of another sunset and the continuation of our lives together. In pomp. It was neat. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Heavenly Angel?
Well, for starters, it's a multi-gold winner there, I see.
It is.
I like the title, Continuation. It lends to the possibility of hope because, you know, because there is continuation. And then by the time you get to the end, basking in the beauty of another sunset and the continuation of our lives together. So often we read or hear about the ending or the dark side, and this is the continuation that you want, the happy ending, the tomorrows to come. Pretty Cher.
It was. Deb, and we have your comments, so we're going on to Dave. Dave, what did you think?
Well, I love this poem for its reverence. I mean, it's almost like a prayer, you know, the way it's written. And
yeah.
I guess it could be a prayer to her mate, you know, or husband or whatever he is. It's lovely, and it is. The background colors and stuff that she chose really accented. You know, I almost get a cinnamon kind of a hit to it, which is one of my favorite spices anyway. And I just really liked it. It was gorgeous. It was really pretty and just really fine. It's a signature angel.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Hannah, what did you think of this? Hannah? Are you on mute, Hannah? Maybe I've lost him for a minute. Wayne, what did you think?
Another wonderful poem by Heavenly. It's a poem of complete contentment and satisfaction. She's baked in a... sitting on that water's edge.
Yeah, great.
Just sitting reverently in a... Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sure can.
It's great. I thought you could hear me. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne. And I am now going to go play the SoundCloud by Titus. Thank you for putting a poem up on the board for us, Titus, and giving us a SoundCloud so that we can hear your voice on your poem. And we are playing it now.
An observation post. Autumn, that welcome picture of last days. I have envisaged Azrael, to whom my own has wallowed often. Such displays prolong uncertainty, albeit did but loom. In attendance he may be conscious prone. Observe the fall for what it is at best. The warmth my being laden to the bone has graced a jaded past, a welcomed guest. The sigh from one's relief it did forecast a finding death. The leaves lay on the ground, the petrichor would stir its first and last of death, it being wish no hint of sound. Methinks a sudden calm has come about, for which there is no way my having doubts.
Very, very interesting piece, Titus. I always love your rhyme. I always love your flow, and it's a really interesting subject. This, the finding death, the leaves lay on the ground, the petrichor would stir its first and last of death, that being wished no hint of sound. It's a really interesting observation and really quite brilliantly worded. Deb, what did you think of Titus's piece?
You know, there's something in the, I think it's, yeah, the second stanza, in attendance, he may be conscious prone. Observe the fall for what it is at best. The warmth, my being laden to the bone, his grace, the jaded past, a welcome guest. There's something about that conscious prone that pulled me in there. Like, you know, he's sitting up and he looks like he's there, but there's a fall, and he gets struck to the bone with a feeling of warmth. I think that this was like an out of body experience. Or I noticed at the top that there's the angel of death patiently waits. So maybe you feel him get there, and that's the explanation for that warm feeling. I think that this is way deeper than it appears when you hear it the first time.
Yeah, agreed. Thanks, Deb. And Wayne, what did you think of Titus's piece?
I said it's a wonderful form of satisfaction during the autumn season, bending the mood of both into perfect harmony, self-reflection is strong in this poem, and the muse's contentment and realization of where he is at his life and his existence. Great job, and a lot to think about. I love it.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Great comment. And Dave, what did you think of Titus's piece?
Well, I agree with what Deb said about it. It's pretty deep, and there's a lot of different pathways that you can get down when you read this from the storyline. I was struck with that second stanza, too. In attendance, he may be conscious prone, observe the fall for what it is at best. The warmth may be my being laden to the bone, has graced a jaded past, a welcome guest. I'm thinking that the welcome guest here is the angel of death. I don't know if I, Azrael, I guess. You know, sometimes in our older years, we get kind of tired of living. I think, you know, I don't take this the wrong way, you guys, but sometimes death doesn't sound quite so bad. You know, it relieves us of a lot of stuff that we have that is put upon us while we're alive and on the planet, you know, and all of a sudden all that's gone. And so I kind of think a little of that might be what this poem's about. I think the person sitting on the bench might be daydreaming a little bit about their last days or what it's going to be like to die or something. I don't know, but it's really well expressed here, and as usual, and I like the way he read it too. He always reads well, but anyway, it's a great poem. It really was. That's my thoughts.
Thank you. Yeah, great thoughts, and thank you. And Hatter, did you want to say a few words about this one? I'm seeing him on the board, and he's not there, so we will keep on going. I guess. Hatter, if you're there, you may have to call back, because I can't hear you. So, okie doke. Let us move forward. We have a piece by Lawrence67 that I'm going to read called "Is That Chucky?" In Lawrence's style. Goes a bit like this. It's a proven fact that you can't die in your sleep. If you're awake, tweakers be like, whoop, whoop, the adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. In. Is that Chucky? Alfie, hey, Nigel, is that Chucky? Nigel, don't think so, but just in case, let's run. Alfie, no, ask him, Nigel. No, I'm not going to ask him, you ask him. I'm not going to ask him. If he's Chucky, he'll cut my neck off. Hey, Princess, come here. Princess, what's up, homies? Nigel, see that doll? Top of that skit. Princess, yeah, well, what about it? It's just a doll. Nigel, Alfie thinks it's Chucky. Could you go and ask him if he's Chucky, the knife-slashing doll? Princess, you two are a couple of pussies. Hey, Dolphos, what's your name? You speak English? Habo Espanol? Speak it a frenzy? No, speak it a nothing. He's mute. Alfie, Chucky was mute, wasn't he? Run! Run! End time. Peter's not with. I quite like that. Anyway, Dave, what did you think of Chucky and the poll?
Yeah, this was fun. It was interesting. I've read quite a bit of Lawrence's stuff and heard it read. And it's funny, and he always grabs your attention just by the way it's written and the storylines that he uses in his poetry. It was fun. I liked it. It was good.
It was
and
fun.
You did a good job writing it too, MP.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. No, thank you. Deb, what did you think of that piece?
You know, I think it's pretty cool how you jumped in and wrote it from, hey, Nigel, is that Chucky? Chucky's, you know, of course, the killer doll that has a whole series. But you two are a couple. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. That's not where I meant to go. I'm not going to ask him if he's Chucky. He'll cut my neck off. And usually you didn't have to ask. You just turned around and you saw those eyes and that face. But this is very cool. He has a way of writing these little skits. Great share.
He does. He does indeed. And Wayne, what did you think of that?
I said,
piece of humor.
I said, run, damn it, run. Chucky scares the hell out of me. Every time I see one of the movies, it's like, I can't watch it. It's so gory and it scared me to death. This is another great masterpiece of Nigel and his adventures. I like a whole lot. I've heard several points and they're all kind of cool. I like this whole lot.
They are cool. I love the descriptions and the discussions. It's not easy to write a discussion, and I found that out. And he does it very, very well. So thank you for giving us the poem. And we are now on to Jenny the Deep. She's put a poem called Thankful Together on the board. It goes a bit like this. Thankful for finding divinity's strength and light. Holding holy love in my heart, contentment grows. Terminal hues, vibrant and bright. Nectarine orange foliage, meet apricot yellows. Flying windy weather is quite a delight. Finally, family is gathering pleasant mellow. Unlike other days filled with bickering fights, lovely how holidays bring back better tomorrows. To all who have transformed my great life, overjoyed I am that I'm no longer living solo. Grateful to see red saturating sleep skies, enjoying enchanting, entertaining echoes. Though not all can be here this holiday night, hope hovers high as winter winds bellow. Everyone and everything has a reason to shine, rising with the sun's warming glow, say hello. NPOM. There you go. Now I'm going to check one more time. Pada, are you with us? Yes. So, given that's the case, Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Jenny the Deep?
Yes, this is the point of being thankful that she's no longer living alone. Her satisfaction is just shows all the way through the poem, and she's content and happy about not having to spend another holiday alone. And she speaks about all the way through the poem, and I'm not too comment, but it's a great poem.
Thank you. What? And Mr. Prophet, what did you think? Dave.
Well, I like the way Jen writes. I'm just getting used to her writing because she's fairly new to me. But I like it. And, the thankful for divinity, strength, and light, holding holy love in my heart. Contentment grows, amazed by haze, vibrant and bright. It's really a colorful poem and very picturesque, and it's got a nice warm feeling to it when you read it or hear it read. And I really like her stuff, and I think this is a shining example of how she writes, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very, very nice piece. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Jenny's piece?
Yeah, I like how she starts it off with letting us know that she's thankful for the strength and the light, and then she brings us the beautiful vibrant colors, nectarine orange foliage, and meets apricot yellows. It's just she paints this vivid, colorful image in your mind, and then she thanks all who have transformed her gray life, like the colors had just been a gift, which, of course, I totally agree. But I think that that's the way she worded this to show how thankful it is to be together was very clever. Great share, Jenny. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Great comment. Thank you to Jenny for putting it up on the board. I'm going to do a quick poem of mine, and then we'll finish with one of by Henry Lawson, great classic poem. For me, this is Rain's Music, a Cockatoo. It goes a little bit like this. Echoes in the burbling jumble of rain that drizzles lightly upon the above tin. Fine in touch ringing while our ears strain to hear a musical rhythm softly begin. Beating fine with a steady insistence, echoes in the burbling jumble of rain. Tapping drops ring onto the metal dents. Falling streams tumbling into a drain. With a rumbling bustle, drops entertained by the patience and space grows calm. Echoes in the burbling jumble of rain, within the chorus whisper the song. Winds blow those clouds ever onward, almost drums to a halt to starting again. Through a piece, do raindrops accord in the burbling jumble of rain. End poem. Deb, did you want to say a few words about a little quatern there?
Yeah, you know, when you jump into these forms, they always come out so beautiful. And I love the first and last, well, I guess it's the trickling line. I love the echoes in the burbling jumble of rain. It gives you a sense of the motion, the sense of the sound and the echo of the sound in the rain. It just starts out like a treat for the senses, and then you take us through the journey, and it ends up with that same through a piece do raindrops accord, and it's peace like peace on earth. Which is really cool. It sort of soothes you and settles you with those echoes. So I thought this was beautiful.
Thank you very much, Deb. And what did you think, Mr. Prophet? Did you like that one?
Oh, I really liked this. Let me ask you a question. How much does it rain in Australia?
Oh, well, we get a little bit of rain. So we get a fairly reasonable amount of rain near the water. Yeah, so you know, we still get our 30 inches of rain. Yeah, so we get a decent amount of rain.
Oh.
It was actually raining quite steadily last night when I was writing that poem.
Okay. Well, I liked the way you wrote this because you give a rhythm to the raindrops and the way they sound on a roof, especially a tin roof. Seems to amplify that sound even more. Beating with a steady insistence. We get a lot of rain up here in the Pacific Northwest, I can tell you that. And, you know, the nice thing about a rainstorm is when it comes straight down, you know, without any wind.
Yeah.
This horizontal rain that we get up here sucks. And this is... good words to read and go to bed with, because rain always seems to make people sleep better for some reason or other. And I think you did a really fine job writing this out. It was really well done, well told. Good job.
No, thank you very much, Dave. So I'm going to finish with a large, long classic by Henry Lawson. And
hold on, look on the board.
Oh, hold on, look in the book. Hold on, look in the book. Hold on, what have I missed? Oh, I'm going to read The Trees first. Okay. I'm going to read...
Yeah,
Gravity.
That was
the
classic one first. I added.
Yeah. By Joyce Kilmer, this is Trees. Deb specifically asked me to read this. And it goes a little bit like this. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree, a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like, but only God can make a tree. End poem.
Short but sweet. Thank you.
Now, we're going back to Mr. Lawson from, it's about 1890, this one, from memory. So let's roll with this, for that's coming to fire season. This is already in fire season in Perth. The fire at Ross's farm, and it goes a little bit like this. The squatter saw his pastures wide decreases one by one. Farmers moving to the west selected on his run. Selectors took the waters up and all the black soil round. The best grassland the squatter had was spoilt by Ross's ground. How many schemes to shift old Ross had racked the squatter's brains, but Sandy had the stubborn blood of Scotland in his veins. He held the land and fenced it in. He cleared and ploughed the soil. And year by year, a richer crop repaid him for his toil. Between the homes for many years, the devil left his tracks. The squatter pounded Ross's stock and Sandy pounded bikes. Well, upon the lower run, it was filled with earthen logs and black blade baits around the farm that poisoned Ross's dogs. It was indeed a deadly feud of class and creed and race, and yet there was a Romeo and a Juliet in the case. And more than once across the flats beneath the Southern Cross, young Robert Black was seen to ride with pretty Jenny Ross. On Christmas time, when months of drought had parched the western creeks, the bushfires started in the north and travelled south for weeks along the riverside. The scene was grand and strange. The hill fires looked like lighted streets of cities in the range. Cattle tracks between the trees were like long dusky aisles, and on a sudden breeze the fire would sweep along for miles. Like sounds of distant musketry, it crackled through the brakes, and over the flat of silver grass, it hissed like angry snakes. It leapt across the flowing streams and raced o'er pastures broad, climbed the trees and lit the boughs, and through the scrubs it roared. The bees felt stifled in the smoke or perished in their hives, and with the stock the kangaroos, and flying for their lives. The sun had set on Christmas Eve when through the scrublands wide, young Robert Black came riding home as only natives ride. He galloped to the homestead door and gave the first alarm, far as past the granite spur, and close to Ross's farm. Now father sent the men at once, they won't be wanted here, poor Ross's wheat is all he has to put in through the year. Then let it burn, the squatter said, I'd like to see it done. I'd bless the fire it would clear, selected from the run. Go if you will, the squatter said, you shall not take the men. Go out and join your precious friends and don't come here again. I won't come back, young Robert cried, and reckless in his ire. He sharply turned his horse's head and galloped toward the fire. And there, for three long weary hours, half blind with smoke and heat, old Ross and Robert fought the flames near the ripened wheat. The farmer's hand was nerved by fears of danger and of loss, and Robert fought the stubborn foe for the love of Jenny Ross. Serpent-like, the curves and lines slipped past them in between until they reached the boundary where the old coach road had been. The track is now our only hope. There we must stand, cried Ross. But naught on earth can stop the fire, for once it gets across. Then came a cruel gust of wind, and with a fiendish rush, the flames leapt over the narrow path and lit the fence of rush. The crop must burn, the farmer cried. We cannot save it now. And down upon the blackened ground, he dashed the ragged bough. But wildly, in a rush of hope, his heart began to beat. For oh, the crackling fire, he heard the sound of a horse's feet. His help at last, young Robert cried. And even as he spoke, the squatter with a dozen men came racing through the smoke. Down on the ground, the stockmen jumped and bared each brawny arm. They tore green branches from the trees and fought for Ross's farm. And when, before the gallant band, the beaten flames gave way, two grimy hands in friendship joined. And it was Christmas Day. End poem.
Storyteller rhymer.
How'd you like that? What a hell of a story. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant poem. God, I love Henry Lawson. Jesus, he's a good writer. What a wonderful bloody story that is. Brilliant, wonderful,
the
wonderful.
The rhyme flow is spotless.
Yeah, just brilliant. Love his work. Anyway, so, Deb, we've got to the end. We have got to the end of the show. My thanks to all the poets who put their work in. We've got through about 15 poems in 65 minutes. Not a bad run. My thanks to Hatter and to Dave, who's still there, and to Wayne for contributing, and to yourself. It's been a great show. We're back in a week's time with more open poetry, Deb.
Yes, sir.
And some sort of record for the number of poems
edited
in.
Get all that in an hour.
Yeah, love the work going with these open poetry shows. They're pretty popular. So that's all for tonight. Thank you very much. And we will catch you in a week's time. Thank you, everybody.
Night, everyone. Night, Dave. Love and respect,
good
everybody.
Night, Dave. Night, Dave.
Night, Hatter.
And night, Hatter. Still there.
Night, AP.
Thank you. Cheers. Thanks, everybody.